Hey, Geekscape, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and this is our second time going live through Yardstream to, where are we going? We're going to Facebook, we're going to YouTube, we're going to Twitch. I know I'm forgetting one. Oh, Periscope. Yep, Monday I signed up for a Periscope account so that those people still using Periscope, well, they can find a home here at Geekscape. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope this pandemic has been survivable for you guys. I have a prediction of how long it's going to take, but I'm no specialist. And please, like, this is a novel coronavirus. This is the first time we're dealing with this thing, even though some people are like, it's 19. We had 18 of these things to prepare for. That's a bunch of bullhooey because it was 19 because it was discovered in 2019. That being said, it's new. We don't know how this thing acts. So we might be in this for a while. The good news is it did lead me to start this live streaming stuff. I'd been resistant to it for a long time. Didn't know how it was going to work for me. I just kind of like my bread and butter MP3 podcasts. It's been fun, but I figure there's not a whole lot else to do during the pandemic. I'll just broadcast with you guys. So one thing I did want to do before bringing in my guest, Jason Inman, who's a close friend of mine, and we're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff. Like they've announced a new Star Wars series. And what else I got? J. Abrams has a new deal over at Warner Brothers where he's going to do a Justice League Dark series. What'll that be? I mean, they've tried to do a Justice League Dark for a long time. Anyway, this needs to work for you guys because you guys are my audience and I like being live and talking to you guys in the comments. And wherever you're watching from, please leave a comment. We'll read it over here on the show. What should a schedule look like? Let's say right now we're doing it at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but some of you guys on the East Coast, maybe that's too late for you guys watching a show at 10 p.m. Or let me think, maybe two or three times a week. Would that work for you guys? What do you think? Leave it in the comments. Or Oh, hey, Heidi. How are you? I didn't see you there.
I was just thinking that maybe you should ask me since, you know, it's my place.
No. Yeah, that's true. This is not just the Geekscape studio right now. This is Heidi's room. So, you know, pandemic.
I have spoken.
And she's the queen. So thank you, Heidi, for laying down the law. What do you guys think? Derek Kranavelt says, every 4 hours. Maybe I should do the show every 4 hours. Okay. Heidi doesn't like that one. All right.
I would like to spend some time with you too.
Okay. Well, you are few in number, but I do appreciate it. Okay. Let's get take one. Maybe Sean Dowling in Seattle. He says, hello from raining Seattle. Not raining like the queen, just where's raining like rainy. It's just a rainy.
Hi, James.
I mean, that's just how it is. All right. What else we got here in the comments? Derek says, but not near dinner time. Don't do it. Derek always thinks of his stomach first. And then James Chinese in San Diego says, hi, Heidi Cox. How are you?
He didn't say how am I, but I'll tell him good. I'm good.
How do you feel about doing a live show in your bedroom? How's that?
It's nice. It is nice. I just, you know. I want you to myself too.
That's not the kind of show we do here at Geekscape. We talk movies, video games, comic books, pop culture. We have friends in, and no, there would be no viewers. Oh, well, pandemic has brought in all sorts of changes in people's relationships and their dealings with each other. So why not?
I'm happy to help. I'm happy for it. I'm glad that you're reconnecting with everybody. And remember when I did it a couple times with you and that. As I was a guest on your show in that weird studio. Can I say that? In that weird studio in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Do it. The stream.tv. It wasn't the stream.tv. I like Susan. It was something else. No, Susan's stream.tv is great.
Hollywood something. Yeah. I don't know. It was on Sunset.
Yeah, that was a weird place. Geekscape's been through a lot of weird iterations over the last 13 years. But I like this one. This one feels
natural.
And it was
on camera, too. So I think it's a good idea. And this is even better because you can see people's comments.
Like our good friend Von Bolden, who says, are you open to having guests on the live stream? Yeah, of course. I would love to have guests on the live stream. And we have a couple guests here tonight. Andy Ranger says, where is the musical accompaniment? We're social distancing.
Let me get
Andy.
My ukulele.
Okay, we can do that. We're improvising here. Don't forget to take off your headphones before you walk away, or else the whole computer goes up. Raymond Russell says, it's bedtime. I know, we're working on a schedule, but she's the boss. This is her bedroom. I kind of have to go by her rules. So I am trying to get a fixed schedule for this. Rico Anderson says, He wants this show every other day. All right, Rico, actor Rico Anderson. We can do that. We'll be talking some stuff. Derek Anderson said Toad Hop. That was not Toad Hop. I love Toad Hop. AJ Santini says, where's Matt? Where, I don't know where Team Matt is. He's recording a podcast. And Von Bolden says, can I be a guest on your podcast? I love Von. Von would be a fun guest. He'd be a fun guest. All right, let's get to our guest, Jason Inman. He's here. Jason's a longtime Geekscape. Oh, you got the musical accompaniment?
Just for a second.
Okay, no, Heidi. Heidi, I need you now. You're going to do the intro music for Jason. Okay, so Jason, you're an amazing guest. You're a dear friend. Oh, please. We're going to need some music to accompany Jason coming on in. Everybody, from Reseda, California, our good friend and the internet's own, Jason Inman.
Oh, hello. We shake hands, and then I sit in the chair.
There he is. That's a...
I'm going to leave you two to talk, okay?
Isn't she sweet?
Bye, Heidi. By the way, I want to say the only place you didn't say you were broadcasting to, because this is inside of a bedroom, is OnlyFans, so I'm a little disappointed.
What? I don't even know what that is.
I gave him my headphones, and
we did put some exclusive content up on RedTube the other day, and I'm kidding. Whoa, hey, we did not do But who knows? If this pandemic goes on too long, anything is possible.
I can only kind of understand him because you're wearing my headphones. I hope you enjoy.
Heidi's got the quality headphones. And actually, we're both in a splitter, and my headphones are so much worse that Heidi actually ordered me nicer headphones just now while we're recording. Thank you so much, gorgeous. Give me a kiss. And
I have spoken.
Thank you. You've spoken. Thank you, gorgeous. Thank you, queen.
I'll be back when you start talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, well, Jason loves talking about Star Trek. I think this is better than my Daisy cup that we had the last couple of days on the show. But
oh, that's so funny. I have an Aladdin cup. So,
Jason, let's catch up. How are things going during this pandemic? What's going on?
You know, it's interesting because I get that. That's what the question that everybody asks me. Things are going all right. Weirdly, everybody keeps talking about how they have more time. I have less time in this pandemic.
And what time I got, before. I'm trying to fill with shit like this because it's fun.
Yeah, it's crazy because our work situation, the show I'm working on has changed, and we're all on Zoom. I have more work hours now. It's crazier. Like, we spend more time on Zoom than we actually did having to be in meetings in the actual office. So for me, I have less time now to do any of the fun stuff or any of the crazy things. But, you know, I don't know. You take every day as you can. Some days are great. Yesterday was a not so great day. So I basically spent the whole day walking around outside. So,
what do you mean? Because you're working in a writer's room for an unspecified show. I don't know how much you can talk about it, but
not at all.
Okay, we can't talk about it at all. It may have something to do with some space stuff.
It's definitely some space stuff.
So, yeah. So yesterday was one of the down days, and you're working from home, but you're part of a writer's room, and you guys are all Zooming together and stuff and trying to get the pages down and trying to break the stories. And like, what the hell do you do? I imagine that must be mind numbing, but at least you don't have to order lunch for everybody.
Oh, that's
like take orders.
That's very true. Man, if you've never been, for everybody out there, if you've never been involved with a television writer's room, like anything to do with lunch, just it's way more complicated than it should be for 12 adults to figure out lunch. But it is. It's way like it's the most important decision of the day, more so than what should our main character's arc be during this episode?
No, the whole schedule of the day is dictated by around lunch. When you guys are going to eat lunch. Yeah. And it dictates how much you're going to get done before, how much you're going to get done after. Yeah. And then we're going to hand out the menus for tomorrow. Right. In the That's hopes right. of maybe expediting a process that never gets expedited, and we're always waiting on that one dude to be like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I haven't gotten a chance to look at it yet."
Yeah,
bro, we emailed it to you the night before.
Currently, one of our senior producers, he loves to have our room in the afternoon now. And I'm one of these people that I love to just wake up, go to work, and I'd rather finish early. That's the way I like when I'm up in the day. Like, I don't want to kind of have to figure out what I have to do for my day. I just want to go to work.
Right.
And he is one of these people where we have to do it later in the afternoon. So for me, I find myself in the mornings not wanting to do anything.
Yeah.
And then by the time I get through the room, it's usually around 6 or 7 o'clock.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, the room starts at 6 or 7 o'clock.
No, the room starts
when you're done.
when we're done is usually like 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Vampire shit.
Oh yeah, man. And so by that time I'm like, I don't want to do anything for the rest of the night. So
right. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. I imagine you had a work day.
I'm sorry I had to push this back to 7 o'clock to all the East Coasters.
I know. Who was that over in the comments that said, Raymond Russell, longtime Geekscape is from the start, been with me over a decade. It's bedtime. Raymond, when you're watching this later or listening to it over the MP3 feed, we love you, buddy. And we'll have another 7 p.m. show tomorrow.
All right.
I've done a couple of these a week. I'm loving doing it. And it kind of feels like the show that it's always supposed to have been. I've always wanted to add video back into Geekscape. But this has been awesome. The other thing is, it's cool to like bring friends in, remote friends, and all sorts of combinations. And surprises. You like surprises, Jason. I like surprises. And I think there's a great surprise here for us, too, because we're about to be joined by our good friend. That's right, Jay Washington.
What's that mean, y'all?
I just dropped the Jay Washington on you, man.
I call this guy Chocolate Thunder.
Damn right.
Better to have Jay Washington drop in on you in the middle of a Geekscape than you be in a wrestling ring with him and have him go off the top of your
ass. Well, he kicked my ass. I know he would.
He would stomp us.
So, I would be so nice.
I don't know if that's the way those things work in the wrestling world. I think you're supposed to be rude and have
my only wrestling move is just to hug tightly and then massage the back until hopefully they fall asleep.
Oh, well, you guys know why I do all the running is if I ever get in a wrestling situation.
Okay. That's the best way to do it.
How are you guys doing? Jay, welcome to Geekscape.
Thank you.
I'm sorry Heidi left, didn't give you an intro, but
I know it's okay.
Surprise guests do not get intros. Right. But we gotta have you on. You heard Jason talk about his schedule. Jay, how are you holding up during this pandemic, man? Because I'm just kind of using this new Geekscape live stream stuff to bring my friends in and just kind of like check in. I fucking miss you guys, and it seems like just yesterday we were at Jason's apartment, like hanging out, and I was making stupid jokes. And then I leave early because I can feel the room and they don't want me there. And then I leave.
Well, I had to go to work that day.
I had to go to work that day.
I've been holding on. You know what? I've been keeping myself busy. I understand what Jason says. I don't have a writer's room gig, but I've been more busier just being here because now I can focus on all the stuff I need to do than I have been. And then on top of that, I'm working out like every day from 1 to 2.5, 3 hours. Like after I'm done with this, I'm going to do yoga with Adrian again. Like I've started doing yoga because of this online. So, but I've been, you know, trying to keep busy, trying to keep sane. You know what I'm saying? Because that's been the biggest thing. Because I feel like with me personally, if I get too much idle time, my shit just goes all haywire. And I don't want to deal with all that. But also doing the new show that I've been doing with Winston A. Marshall, which we got to get both of you all on.
Yeah, Jason, I know it's like,
It's called Blurreds in the Hood. We do it live every Tuesday on our Blurreds in the Hood YouTube channel. And Jason, I know I can't get you on anytime soon because I know you and I talk. So I know your job and everything. So I know how busy you are, Jonathan.
I don't know. I got him on Geekscape. I don't know what that's.
Yeah, that's because you did it at night.
You got to do it at night.
I'm
busy exercising during the day, Jay.
And that's what I noticed. You're always on some stairs or a heel or in your life somewhere.
I'm going fucking nuts, Jay. But I've been doing those Zoom workouts with the same group that I work out in the mornings.
You guys all have been doing it through Zoom.
We've been doing it through Zoom. And I got to tell you, if you guys are big Super Action Man fans, I know he's a big fan of yours, Jay, from Comic Con. He got real close and personal with you. You guys almost shared a signing. Super Action Man, Geekscape Super Action Man, is doing a workout at 8 a.m. on Saturday, this coming Saturday, over Zoom. That's Pacific Standard Time, midnight in North Korea if you're in prison there. It's a Super Action Man workout. It's got some like different patriotic USA themed workouts. It's like a HIIT workout. And really all you need to do to join is maybe throw down a carpet or a yoga mat and get like two cans of beans that you'll use as like weights and like a paper towel roll or something that you can use. But that's it.
Can you explain to those of us in here, myself and Jason and everyone watching at home, how you know exactly what time it is in a North Korean prison? When did you decide to do this math?
I think they're 16 hours. I mean, that would be 16 hours ahead. Yeah, I mean, I spent some time. They told me not to touch anything, and I can't help but touch things. If anything, this whole pandemic has been a great way to have me not get arrested. But I got to tell you, North Korean prison, not as nice as the gulag. I've been around, Jesus. With my mouth and my fucking attitude, you think I haven't spent a time in the... Come on. I'm
sorry, have you guys been talking? I don't know. The jokes have just been...
We're just hanging out. Derek Crandall said Shane O'Hare wrote that joke. So our own Shane O'Hare, I'm sorry. He's our writer's room, and he is worth the price we pay him, which is nothing. Here we go. Ray says, I'm actually checking in from Periscope. YOLO. Is Periscope still a thing?
Yes, it is. Actually, I know a lot of people were using Periscope again as of recently. So,
did it not get renamed like Twitter Live or something like
that? No, it's still Periscope.
It's still Periscope? All right.
Okay. Twitter will say what's live. It just won't call it directly Periscope, but Periscope is still a thing.
So here we are. We got the Periscope going. We are on the part, we're in the second wave of Periscope, the second trend of Periscope. People are like, oh, Periscope is not cool anymore. Yeah. And now it's so uncool, it's cool again. There's Geekscape waiting for it.
That's good, man.
There we go. Back on Periscope. You got to get on that Periscope. Is your show on Periscope, Jay?
No. I guess we will start doing it on Periscope come this Tuesday.
We are going live to Facebook.
For the three people that
Periscope,
are on
Twitch.
Right, for the four people on Periscope. Actually, there's a lot of people on there. A good friend of all of ours, Jen Sturger, was on it a couple of weeks ago. She had Jen's, for what she's doing with AEW, but there were a bunch of people on there. So it's like, oh, this is still a thing.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jason, you look like you're tired.
I'm doing fine today. I actually weirdly had the day off mostly today, but I had to work on some other stuff. No writer's room today. So that was good.
Okay.
Well, here we go. It says, take a shot every time someone mentions Periscope. So I'm going to take the Spider-Man cup.
Oh, wait. And I'm joining you with Aladdin. Here we go.
I just got a liter water bottle.
All right. I just took a drink and...
You got to live, Jay. You got to live.
It's filled with blood.
By the way, I love Jay's set. I think it's really awesome.
I like it.
Thank you.
The pandemic hit before I was like ready to do any of this live streaming stuff, and this is Heidi's room. So I'm pointing it away from the fairy artwork on the walls that has like butterflies and fairies and stuff on it. But you know,
I think that would add and enhance with you doing it. I swear you should do it.
The thing is, back at my place over in Sherman Oaks, there's even more stuff like that all over the freaking walls. Like it's like that. Jim Paganelli over in Brooklyn, he just threw us a comment. That says 12 adults have had to do lunch orders for more than double that and cater production meetings and camera tests for 50 plus. Well, Jim, listen, are you doing it right now? Okay, pal, you're a coordinator. We know coordinators have to work with the whole crew in the set. Jason, he's in the writer's room. All right, Jim, this is not a contest. This is a fucking pandemic. We're in this together. All right, Jim, we're going to need you to not make this a contest.
Look, if we weren't Zooming right now, there will be nothing to shoot next year.
All right, buddy, you wouldn't be able to coordinate.
This is true.
If he wasn't writing right now on that show that we can't talk about.
No, okay? We can't talk about it at all.
And Derek Crandall says, Team Meerkat, maybe we can do a little Meerkat if you guys want to hang. We can do some streaming of Meerkat for those people who are at South by Southwest 2005 who still do Meerkat or wherever that was.
When we stream the TikTok, then I'll be impressed.
We might. Hold on, Jay.
Oh God.
Talk to TikTok people. Okay, I put it in the notes. I'll get right on that. And Heidi just says, thank you, Jay.
You're welcome, Heidi. You're so welcome.
I have no idea why she just commented that, but
I said you should show the fairies and the butterflies with you.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Listen, if I move in, this shit's going to be way different up in here. All right. It's going from a ladies' room to the room of like a 12-year-old.
We just saw an argument for him, whether we want to believe it or not, because that's going to happen.
She will win that one. And you know what? Heidi's stepdad is watching right now, so maybe we clean it up a little. Okay, guys? I'm kidding. All right. So, Jay, you're just working out. Jason, you're just working, but Jason, tell me about this day.
I'm doing a lot of self tapes as well, but that's a whole nother story.
The actor life, hashtag actor life. Jason, tell me about this day yesterday where you're just like wandering around looking for meaning in life.
So yesterday, yeah, just one of the, man, I don't know if you guys have found this out, but sometimes there has been some days, at least once a week, since this whole lockdown has happened, where you just wake up and you just don't want to do anything. Has that been common for both of you guys?
I've had a couple of days like that, to be honest.
Really?
So for me, yeah, I don't know. So for me, like, I kind of feels like either until there's an end to this thing or something else changes, it's just like I get in one of those moods of like, well, I don't want to do anything. And so luckily our writer's room wrapped early yesterday and it was really super nice in LA. It's been really cold here lately. But yesterday was super nice. And my wife and I just went and wandered for like 4 miles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You watch
wandering neighborhoods. Walking around, but we're also at the point now in this pandemic, I found, especially in LA, where I can tell people are getting super stir crazy because and please call me on my phone at any point during this broadcast. I found that nobody's doing social distancing as much as anymore. I don't know if you guys are noticing this at all, but I am starting to notice.
I've noticed that a lot. You know what? I agree with you, Jason. The stir crazy thing is happening. People are just like, listen, I'm going to be out. People have been at the parks and everything, just walking and jogging and running. And everybody's just like, the hell with 6 feet. I'm okay. Let's go.
There is no 6 feet, man. It's crazy.
Well, we're California. No,
my number is 213 Klondike 5.
maybe. Guys, try it.
I want to know if anybody in the Geekscape crowd gets that reference.
Oh, we don't. I mean, at least I don't. And like, it trickles down like this. One thing I wanted to ask you guys is, I wanted to throw in, I do see a lot of people acting like things are going to get better, are getting better. And I think that people are getting restless. I think this thing's going to go till June, at least for the stay at home stuff in California. I know we're all talking about May 17th. I only picked that because DC that says that's when they're going to start putting comics back in. No. That's when Diamond says they're going to start distributing comics
next
again.
Next week is DC.
DC is like, oh, fuck it. We're getting two distributors, and we're doing the East Coast distributor and the West Coast distributors.
We'll use your shorts.
Yeah. Jason, can you touch on that? Because I have seen a lot of people going out and kind of acting like things are normal. But I think that's kind of working its way towards summer, and people are doing that around the country. How much is that going to start affecting comics? Is this a move by DC because – of what happened right before this all came down, where Dan DiDio had like been kicked out of the company. They're on shaky ground. Who knows if DC really has that strong of a future? What's the climate over there at Warner, like Time Warner and all that?
Yeah, that definitely, it's interesting. So Dan DiDio, who was the co-publisher of DC, was let go right before this whole thing happened. And from what I understand, DC is a little rudderless right now, which makes sense. I mean, he is the guy that is basically charting the direction they're going to go. So that hit. And then like 2 weeks later, this whole thing of comic book shops across the nation cannot basically be open. So how does DC get their products to stores? It's kind of crazy, man. I don't know if DC or Marvel are ever going to be toast. Like, I know we like to say that every once in a while, everybody's like, comics are dead. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I think this is a response. I think this is DC challenging Diamond Publishing. Now, if you don't know everybody out there, Diamond is the giant company that delivers comic books to comic book stores. Sadly, they're the only company that does this, and hence they have a monopoly. So when they shut down, comic books stopped dead. Right. Which has already put certain comic book stores out of business. I know several of my friends, and I bet Jonathan, you know, several of these guys as well, artists and writers that have basically been told to finish the issue you're on. And then we're not sending any more paychecks.
Pencils down.
Yeah. Pencils down.
Yeah. That's the order. Pencils down.
So I think DC is just trying. I think DC is like, we have got to get this thing back moving up again. And running.
Moving. Yeah.
Somehow.
And this whole move with the two distributors is them trying to jump the gun and be like, all right, like comic book stores, it sounds like you guys may be open in May. We'll be there a week early to get you guys some products that are fresh on the shelves to bring people back into your shops. Because it sounds like they need this thing to be over as much as some of the shops. I just called my shop a week or so ago, and they mailed me the books that had come in before the whole shutdown happened, gave them my credit card over the phone and all that. But he sounded pretty worried, my comic book shop owner. And I think that these local shops that we love, Jason and Jay, like they're going to need people like us to put the word out over our social medias. And maybe I think that we should do little parking lot cons and things like that to help out the local comic book stores and try to figure a way to do it. Cause I don't think virtual cons are going to do that for them. Virtual
cons. Well, I was just about to mention that. I was just about to mention the virtual cons. I think if the comic book owners could help probably partner with these places, it may help a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, with everything being shut down, with nobody going anywhere, no one's spending any money. Now, you do have some, you know, digital distributors, but that's not the same. A lot of comic book stores have stuff that you can only get in physical copies.
Right, yeah.
And I think a parking lot thing would sound, you know, feasible. Yes. But again, bring it back up what Jason said earlier, the entire social distancing thing. You know, one minute you'll have people like, let's do it. But then you'll have one or two people like, well, what about social distancing? So you run into that wall no matter what.
I was going to hold it in Florida.
Well, then you have everybody just being like, look, let's just go ahead and saw this my edge gun off.
I don't know.
I was going to go down to the Capitol building and just sell comics to the dudes who show up with the AR-15s.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
and Walmart khakis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they want to reopen the Applebee's and shit like that. I want to try and sell comics to those dudes. Jay, I do not suggest you come with me.
I was not going to go. I would just send all my best wishes to you to go.
We got a big question here that says Don Nguyen, who's, you know, he was going to have a booth at WonderCon. He's an artist in Artist Alley. He's at all the Artist Alleys. He says that indies and self-publishers can send books. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can go to some of these indies websites and sell books. And Jason, I think your riddle has been solved by Thomas Parham. BR549.
I don't know. That's
Actually,
Thomas, that is not the correct reference. Keep trying. But Thomas is lovely. He's a friend of mine. I think he's been on the show.
He's been awesome. Yeah. And what I love is that he dresses in costumes and go to hospitals and do all these
and
events.
A published author and professor.
Unlike yourself, Jason Inman. Yep. You're working on your comics.
Don Nguyen is correct, because we keep saying to everybody that like all the comic books that I've ever written, the books I've written and co-written with Ashley, they're all available like on my website, jasonemmon.com, plug. So you can do that. But the biggest problem about that is that we have two companies on top that basically eat up 90% of the marketplace. And the other 10%, while I love them and they're great. And again, the percentages might be quite, it might actually be, it might be 15% and 75%. I'm not quite certain, but the two on top eating up all the marketplace, if they're not moving the economics of this thing, then that other 15% can't make a difference. They're not going to change it. But yes, I've been saying that right now, like the biggest thing you can do. And I did this is that if you want like comic books to really keep going, contact these artists directly that you're fans of. Buy their books, buying signed copies from them. I guarantee you they have Etsy stores and stuff like that. But another cool thing you can do, especially if you're missing all the cons, and I did this, reach out to an artist that you love, ask them if they're open for commissions right now. Because I bet you they are.
I imagine Instagram is working, and we had Chris Gore on, and he did a panel at the WonderCon virtual thing, and there's a virtual con coming up in May that I've been talking to some people about. Do you guys know about this virtual con thing?
I heard about that. There's one coming up in May, and there's one this weekend, actually.
Right. Yeah, so
Jay knows. He's a big Hosty McHosterson at it.
The big part of it is this whole idea of like bringing in artists and taking on commissions online and having exhibitors. A lot of the exhibitors are able to be a part of these cons for free, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, this is off topic. This is Dark Sage 9117 watching on Twitch. This is off topic, I know, but I see all the comic books around. I love the MCU and what Disney is doing, but I feel that movies like Black Widow and Captain Marvel are unneeded in the grand scheme of the story. Captain Marvel felt like a side quest or filler movie. And from what I've read, Black Widow is going to be another filler movie to start Phase 4. What do you guys think about that? I have no problem with filler movies because 20 years ago, we had none of these. We had just started getting like the hints of an X-Men movie that would have been coming out this summer 20 years ago. And we had Blade and stuff like that. But I'll take the filler movies. I like filler movies. I just like seeing these characters on screen. I don't think everything has to be a pillar to which the big scheme is going to like depend on. Does that make sense, guys?
I hate questions like that. The question that was asked, because here's why. It singled out two particular movies which seem to have a theme. And then I saw the second question about Black Panther 2 being a filler. Ant-Man is a filler movie. There are a lot of movies within the MCU that are filler movies that have to be played out to set up the major part of the story. Like Jonathan said, everything is not a pillar or foundation movie. You have to have a... Look, I was one of those people who were like, we don't need a Black Widow movie. It's 10 years too late. I was dead ass one of them. But then when they said it's set right after Civil War, I was like, okay, now I know what this is doing. It's setting up Florence Pugh's character to be the new Black Widow, which she is in comics. Mm-hmm. You had to introduce Captain Marvel, because if you just dropped her in a movie at Infinity War, at the end of Infinity War, going into Endgame, and people be like, wait, I'm not really up on this character. You need people to know who she is, what makes her significant to the entire story.
In Darkseid's defense, they did just drop her back into that movie at the end of it.
Well, but when you had to set up why she's so powerful.
I know.
You get what I'm saying? You have to set those things up. And so it's questions like those, for me personally, as someone who covers this a lot, is like, yo, you got to see the big picture. You got to have filler movies, but the filler is not what you're thinking, like as in a filler episode of a 23-season show. It's a completely different ball game.
You know, in all honesty, guys, like, I feel like somebody's filler movie and is someone else's favorite movie. So we have to see the fact that we're all fans of different things, even within this microcosm of pop culture superhero movies. And someone's favorite movie is going to be Captain Marvel. Somebody's favorite movie might be this upcoming Black Widow that we'll get in November. That's just the kind of the way it is. And I think it's cool to have those different types of movies that serve different kinds of functions for different kind of fans. And that's the coolest thing about where we are right now, is that different kinds of fans can have their different variety of tastes filled. That's the best thing about it.
I agree, because that, if you don't have, and I hate to call them filler movies as well, they are, you need different shades of the same story, because there's only so many stories of superhero origin story that we can have. In fact, we're tired of it now. Like, everybody didn't want Spider-Man's origin be told in Spider-Man Homecoming. It didn't happen. But it's interesting, because if everybody had their preference, most fans would tell you, you know what every movie needs to be? It needs to be the last 20 minutes of Endgame over and over and over again. Do you know how quickly we would get tired of that? Yep. We'd be done with it after three movies.
Yeah,
and we'd be like, this is boring.
I do not want to just have the beginning of Phase 4 and then be like, oh, Galactus is showing up.
Well, that's like when people bring up filler movies. Like, literally, you can say that Thor the Dark World is a two-hour plot device. That's all it is. It's to set up the story of the ether. I mean, we can go far back. Again, Phase, what, two? Is that Phase 1? That's Phase 1. No, Phase 2.
Phase two.
So
who cares?
I forget the phase. I'm just using that as an example, saying going from Phase 4 where we are now. You have these movies, and they're not filler movies. They're plot devices, if you will. Now, some may be stronger than others. And like you said, everyone's going to have a preference. Not everyone is going to like all 23 movies that we've already seen, and then going how many movies we have coming up. Everyone's not going to like them all. It's just fair. I mean, it is what it is. But at the same time, you have to realize there is a gigantic story being told historically that has never been done in this light until we've seen it be done with Marvel. Mm-hmm. And so you have to respect that, because again, like Jason just said, if you got the last 20 minutes of Endgame in three movies in a row, when Endgame happens, you do not care.
Yeah, that's the reason. You're exactly right, Jay. That's the reason why we like shot out of our seats when Cap caught Mjolnir, because they had been hinting at that for 20 plus movies. Mm-hmm. It's exactly like the weird thing you have to realize about the Marvel model, and it's something that I love about it, but I also hate about it, is that Marvel makes movies like television episodes. Mm-hmm. Their entire, from Iron Man 1 to Avengers Endgame, is a season of television. Right. And Avengers Endgame is the giant season finale, or the series finale, depending on how you want to look at it. And when you're watching a season of television, there are ups. There's the episode about Ducky, the weird character over here. And then there's the episode about like how these people met. There's the flashback episode.
Episode 8 or 9 is usually the flashback origin episode.
Yeah, but it all builds usually to the giant climax or confrontation. That's just the way they've designed their movies. So without those side movies, you wouldn't care.
Right. And also, let's not forget the Disney Plus shows that we're about to get, yeah, which are in many cases a 6-hour and for, I think, Falcon and Winter Soldier, an 8-hour movie. Mm-hmm. That's literally what you're about to get.
Bring it on. I can't wait. I don't even care. Like, let's just bring it on. I'm excited about all of it. Even the stuff that I end up walking out of the theater and being like, that wasn't necessarily my favorite thing, or I wasn't that into that. Again, all you have to do with these movies is turn your head and you're going to see somebody smiling walking out of the theater and loving it, or wearing the t-shirt at Comic-Con next year. Let's talk about that Disney Plus thing, because today there's a little bit of news that there's this new Star Wars series that they're starting up that they've announced. It's a female-led Star Wars series. Leslie Headland, she did Russian Doll. That was her Russian show.
Netflix, yeah, that was great. A great show.
Really good show. Now she's doing an all-female Star Wars show, but it's told not in the same timeline as kind of the whole Skywalker saga that we're getting, that we've gotten a lot of this stuff in. What do you guys think of that? I mean,
you already know why I'm laughing. Jason, who knows me, knows why I'm laughing. He should know why I'm laughing, and you should too, because, look, this is the type of stories that we need that are outside the Skywalker story. But also, you're going to have that batch of people on the internet who are going to be like, why are we being force-fed this? And it's like, yo, there are more stories to tell.
Yeah, and a more audience to tell them to.
And there's more of an audience to tell them to. So, like, I'm all for it because I believe we should have all these different variations of stories, especially in this universe, whether it be Star Wars, whether it be Star Trek. You can have all these different stories.
No, Jay, and I think people, you just like fighting incels on the internet. I think.
Oh, no, I don't fight them. I just like calling them out for being doing stupid stuff. It's just because it's the only, like, I'm happy to hear this is happening. Again, if you watch Russian Doll, you're like, okay, the showrunner from that is doing. Is the showrunner for this? That's not a problem at all.
I want different kind of storytellers telling different kind of stories. And
yeah.
Here we go. We've got a little bit of shout out. Thomas Farm, who we'd been talking about, has a shout out for you, Jay. He says, "Preach, Brother Blurred."
Thank you. I have to bring up.
I want to give a shout out to Mr. Professor Thomas Parnum. I don't know if he's a doctor, but he has been texting me during the show, and he has already been like, you gotta hook me up with Jay Washington. He's a cool dude. Oh, dude.
Thomas is fantastic. He's a great guest. Thomas is
fantastic.
Sharp as fucking tack, and I love having him on the show. And I mean, he's safe to come on the show because I already make myself look dumb. So somebody as brilliant as him is only going to make things like it doesn't get any worse.
Yeah, he's one of the smartest blurreds I know. Yes,
that's the type of people I need to connect with. Like, enhance my knowledge. Guest.
He would be a great guest for you, Jay. And Jay's YouTube channel is a new YouTube channel. Is right there.
It's the one for the Blurreds in the Hood show. The one Winston Marshall and myself are doing. I mean, I have my own Jay Washington, J-A-Y Washington 80. But the one I've been pushing is this new YouTube show with me and Winston, because we take everything from pop culture, entertainment, real world news, and, you know, nerddom, all that, mix it together for out of control, hilarious hours. So that's why I did Blurreds in the Hood.
All right. I'm into it. I'm thinking about it. If you think that I can hang, I will.
You can. Trust me.
I don't know, guys. Things coming out of my mouth sometimes or some bullshit. Kate Eglin has a little comment. She says, Black Widow has an eyeshadow palette coming out, and I, for one, very excited. There we go. Different I'm fans.
That's what I'm talking about.
And our friend Cricket Lee says, hey, I'm available if you need guests. Guys, I love doing these shows. I love talking to you guys. I was like alone for a month and a half just sitting here in my social isolation being like, I guess I'll record another podcast. It's okay. I mean, if you've been doing it that long, I really wasn't looking forward to doing more podcasts. This has kind of injected me with new life, is talking to you guys live. Friends like, you know, Chrissy Lynn, who says, yay, hi, friends. Hey, Chrissy Lynn. Amazing, amazing Chrissy Lynn. Von Bolden says, hey, you guys are pretty good.
Just pretty. Okay.
about outstandingly good.
I'll be over here.
Jim Paganelli in Brooklyn did say that filler movies are okay for Phase 4. We have no idea yet what Phase 4 is going or what it's building to. Endgame was the culmination. He just agrees with you, Jason. Like, see, you guys agree on that. Like, even though you're only getting food for a writer's room, and Jim is getting for everyone soup to nuts. That, you know, here he is. You guys are at least agree on this. This is fun. I'm having a bunch of people with their names Jay on a show together. And here we are.
This is the Jay Town. Yeah.
It's the Jay Show.
The J Show. This might actually be a scheduled Geekscape thing. It's like, hey, we do a Monday J Show. Right now, Jason's like, no, I'm too busy for that shit.
Yes. have your people talk to my people.
We've got Jim also saying that the comparison is apt. TV and comics are more highly serialized than the movies typically are, and the serialization part of the appeal. Think that's what Marvel has gotten more right than its cinematic competition, which brings us back to what Tom is saying. And there's the DC Entertainment Universe, which
doesn't really exist anymore.
I want that Shazam too.
Doesn't exist.
I want that Shazam too.
I mean, we're getting everything. I mean, I think that's the thing. We know everything that happened up until Justice League, and everybody remembers their feelings walking out of Justice League. Like, what just happened? And then. But then now you have DC deciding to take a different approach and like, all right, we got to reference it, but we got to move forward. So that's why you get the slight reference in Aquaman. That's why you get the slight reference in Shazam and everything going forward. So now I kind of trust them now. I don't care how people, Birds of Prey, all these different things. You got James Gunn doing the Suicide Squad. Like, they're different things. They're like, okay, I trust their vision now. I'm slowly starting to see it. It's not a rush thing like we saw before. Because remember, we saw that rush thing coming. As soon as we got Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, you were like, oh, so we just going to do this right now. Like, we're just going to drop everything in this.
Well, there's Chrissy's comment. She says, poor DC, we're getting the rebooted Suicide Squad from James Gunn.
He said it's not. He said it's rebooted, but at the same time, it's not.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with, like, the kind of soft, like, course corrections, like the one that we had halfway through Justice League.
Joel Kinnaman, Viola Davis, and Margot Robbie are all in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, totally. And here's a suggestion from Don. We're J-Town. We're the H-Town adjacent comics R&B group. Give us something. Give us
something. With a group called H-Town.
I'm going to give you, you don't want to hear me sing. I sing enough on my podcast.
I used to do all sorts of stupid shit on the show.
And you know, like our kind of song would be something like, don't break the spine, baby. CGC that butt. You know, I don't know.
I thought that was a Bane reference. It is a Bag and Board It reference. You gotta send it in. Here we go. Chrissy does want to know what happened with that Flash film. And guys, Flash got himself in some trouble recently.
Oh, yeah.
Jason's face lit up. Was like,
Jason, why are you so excited about this kid? What's his name?
Ezra Miller.
Why are you so excited about him?
That video is pretty damning.
Yes, I don't know. I watch it and I'm like, are they fucking around in that video? That's what I said. Or are they not fucking around?
That's literally what it looks like, because she's giggling. Because if you notice right before he does it, she does the little silly little put him up thing.
So and Ezra Miller,
it's like a when you ever see fighting happening.
Can you tell us what happened to you? Like, Ezra Miller was in Sweden or something, or he was like in Stockholm or something in some party. Like,
I mean, for what we just see of that clip. You know how, like, if you ever watch somebody do choreography, they say they're going to go full speed, quarter speed, half speed, and full speed. It looks like they were going, like, quarter speed at something, like how an action scene would go. Because she's giggling all the way down, and the way he even says it, you want to fight? It's nothing that comes off. I mean, because of where we are in this day and age, of course, everybody's like, oh, my God, he choked a woman. But when you look at her reaction for the whole thing, the way the whole thing played between the two of them, it looks more playful more than anything else. Now, I know everybody is like, I mean, now people, I know people are like, yo, get light the torches in the pitchforks, put his hand on the spike and get rid of him. But I think when we look at it more and more, it's not as damning as when we first watch it. Because when you first look at it, you're just like, yo, what's happening? And then you look at it again and you're like, wait a minute, she's playing. It's like they're just playing. So,
right. But what I'm saying is, for those who don't know what happened, is Ezra Miller was at a bar or a party or something where fans showed up and they started interacting with him. They could have just been people who were hanging out in the bar and recognized him. And sure enough, their video appears that of him roughhousing a woman. And was she an obnoxious fan who wouldn't leave him alone? Was it somebody that he knew better? Who knows? But it did end up not looking good, like Jay said. And I watched it and I was like, okay, they're roughhousing a little bit. Jason, you got a little bit of a different take on this one?
I mean, I'll tell you what. and I'll say this as a person who has met Ezra Miller, who was nothing but a nice gentleman, and also bought a copy of Jupiter Jet from the con I was at, which is great. But I don't know, man. To me, it's like, even if that video is roughhousing, I don't know if it's appropriate for any male celebrity to be to have any kind of a tape of them choking a woman on the internet, whether you're faking it or real. It's not a very positive situation. Again, Warner Brothers just got done with this whole Zack Snyder Affleck almost drank himself to death because he didn't want to be Batman business. This is not really a positive thing as they're trying to reboot or restart their universe.
Is there a culture problem over at the studio?
How do you mean?
Like, it sounds like there's like an oversight issue if we have these kind of things coming up, like personality conflicts and stuff like that. Oh, I mean, these movies are $300 million investments.
Yeah.
I have to imagine the stockholders aren't happy when you hear something like either a director or an actor getting derailed, or something like a Flash movie getting moved to June 3rd, 2022. And I mean, how many investments on a script does that take? After a while, you keep trying to make that movie over and over again. You're in the red pretty heavily on that kind of stuff. Yeah. At what point do you pull the plug and say, we're never going to make our money back on a Flash movie because it's taken 10 years to get off the ground?
I mean, I'll say this. I highly doubt we ever see that Flash movie. Because this is now the fourth director. Right. So that means that this is probably the fourth script and it's not going to be the final script.
But Warner Brothers.
I'll be blown away if that Flash movie happens.
He's the IT director and IT did well over at Warner Brothers. And they might be like, you know, it's the same kind of situation that we're seeing with the Uncharted movie where Ruben Fleischer hit a couple out of the park for Sony. And Sony's like, you know what? Like, you did well on Venom. You gave us more. Did he do Zombieland over at that studio? You gave us a Zombieland sequel. We're gonna give you this Uncharted thing. And even though it hit a little bit of a bump this summer, it was literally a day away from starting to shoot when this pandemic hit. Like, is it a Ruben Fleischer situation where the studio is like, hey, you're our guy, we're gonna get this for you? Is that kind of what they might be doing over
that's
on the Flash?
What I think it is, because now you do have Andy Muschietti attached as director, like you said. I think that one is the more locked in because he's in the Warner Brothers family. It wasn't so much where you had John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein before, where it's like, all right, they've been doing Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Spider-Man Homecoming guys, yeah.
Right, the Spider-Man Homecoming guys could do this, and then you had the other ones, but you got Muschietti locked in, and then you got Christina Hodson locked in, who wrote Birds of Prey, and Birds of Prey for them did well for what they wanted it to be. Right. So you have two for sure locks. Like, this script for sure is going to be that script, because also Hodson is writing a Batgirl script. So this is something for Warner Brothers, like, this is going to happen. The question about Ezra, I think no matter what, unfortunately, that was answered with Crisis on Infinite Earths.
What do you mean? That last episode where he shows up in the DC CW universe, the Berlantiverse?
Yep. I think that was the one that lets you know this is what's happening. You have these two here. This is the TV Flash. This is the movie Flash. I think that was the established, like, yo, this is going to go, because at this point, yeah, we want to see the movie. Some people are like, it's just not going to happen. But we've said that with a bunch of other movies before, you know, and then eventually we start hearing things like you just brought up, Jonathan. Uncharted was that movie. So I think, yeah, we're set on it. It's just once this whole pandemic stops, because they were supposed to go into production this year, too. Like, their production shooting schedule had to get pushed back. So we'll see.
Well, what about my theory that the choking video actually was the Flash film? Any idea of that? Is that true?
I think you're 100% correct. Okay. I've heard that girl is Mirror Master, actually. Okay. And if you look in the back left corner, there is an Easter egg for the sequel villain. Of course, we all know the Trapster. The Trickster. And then they're going to bring the Trapster over from Marvel. It's a new deal. Warner Brothers made a deal with Disney. They're going to bring the Trapster from the Fantastic Four into the Flash. You heard it here first.
This is exclusive.
But you didn't even text me this, Jason. What type of friend are you?
No, wait. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Listen.
Hold on. My tricorder says answer is yes. Okay.
I mean, Jason is
all true because my tricorder said it is.
He won't do Jay's show, but he'll do Geekscape. He won't give Jay the exclusives, but he'll give them to me. I'm sorry, Jay. Like, I don't know. I mean,
okay. I've known Jonathan longer, Jay. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I love you so much.
But Jay, I do have a scoop about how the character of Ron Swanson is going to make an appearance in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and I'm happy to give that to your show.
Okay. Oh, you absolutely will be.
Real quick, Jorge over on Facebook says, so what's your guys' view on how the Fantastic Four will be introduced to the MCU? I don't know. Peyton Reed had a take on it that involved Ant-Man and that kind of thing. I'd love to see Peyton Reed's original take because I wanted him to do it over at Fox. I love Peyton Reed. Obviously, he's done, I think, two really fun Ant-Man movies. What do you guys think? How do they introduce him? I'd love for it to be in pieces. I'd love for, like,
Jay,
we'll see.
I have a pitch for this because I love the Fantastic Four, but I feel like you're more in tune with the MCU, so I'd love to hear, like, what are your thoughts?
I do think Ant-Man is the best place to do it. Why? Because instead of saying the negative zone, you can say they were stuck in the quantum realm.
Mm-hmm.
Because this way you can utilize that. I think that's what opened the door for it. So when they were trying, you can go back to Fantastic Four, probably 52, the one where the Black Panther was introduced, where you have this situation where Reed was working on something in the 60s. Remember, time doesn't pass the same way. So you have them trapped in the quantum realm. All of a sudden, in Ant-Man and the Wasp, maybe in a post-credit scene, they're released at the same time. You know, at the end of the movie, they're released from the quantum realm. And then all of a sudden, we're like, boom, here's your Fantastic Four. Because we already pretty much are locked, unless some changes, that Reed Richards and Sue Storm are John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Like, yeah, I hope not.
Well, you know? I don't know. Chrissy Lynn says, how do you guys feel about that? John Krasinski?
I think John Krasinski is a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him as Reed Richards, but I would love for him to have a part in the MCU.
Well, Kate Eglund says he's shredded now. He's going to fit right in.
I think that's why he got in shape. Again, when you start seeing certain actors
of aliens that can only hear everything, and he had to protect his kids, and they were going to protect his family. But that's, he got shredded to protect his family, Jay.
But
I think you're doing during the pandemic. You're like, come at me, COVID-19. You worked out 4 hours today.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet. Like I said, I'm going to go to probably 11 o'clock at night. But nonetheless, I think that's the, you know, I want to hear why Jason doesn't want them. That's what
he's a perfect Reed to me.
Oh, see, to me, he's not.
You want to be Reed?
So Emily Blunt, I'm fine with a Sue Storm. Mm-hmm. And I think we are in a situation now where everybody just wants Emily Blunt and John Krasinski because they're married. The same way as, like, all those weird rumors before Batman v Superman, where everybody's like, you know who should be Lex Luthor? Bryan Cranston, because he's bald. It's like, come on, guys. There are other married actors out there. But also, to me, Reed Richards is the smartest man in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also charismatic, because if he's not, then why would these three people hop into a rocket and face certain death without him?
Yeah.
And in no performance that I've ever seen from John Krasinski, including the two seasons of Jack Ryan that I sadly watched, that where he's supposed to be like the smartest analyst for the CIA, did I ever buy that John Krasinski was a smart man? I never saw anything but Jim from The Office. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's great at that performance. But I'll tell you the actor who I do buy it from, and this is kind of controversial, because a lot of people told me this is stupid. Oscar Isaac, I think, is the perfect Reed Richards, because go watch Ex Machina. That's Reed Richards.
Yeah.
You know what? I agree with that. But I think the whole thing for Oscar Isaac with me, the only thing that takes it away is Oscar Isaac's height. And I know what movie magic
is. Oh, height, might. Robert Downey Jr. is 5'5".
Have you seen the career? I get it.
And that's what I was going to bring up. I know Robert Downey Jr. is like, him and Tom Cruise are like just like this.
Yeah, so that's what Apple
Heidi
has.
Heidi, this is her room. I have to let her in.
Go ahead. Apple Box.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I brought it up.
Thomas Parham has a good idea. He says, would y'all start Fantastic Four in the 60s, then trap them in the quantum realm? Yes. Like Ant-Man
style? That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said. Trap them in the 60s.
But is Thomas, that too Captain America, though?
No, that's perfect. So Jay, you said your whole idea, and it's funny because your idea is sort of like the pitch that if somebody hired me to write the Fantastic Four movie, please, Marvel, please, this is what I would do. You're exactly right. They should start in the 60s. That way, all their tech work looks like Jack Kirby. You can do the bathtub Fantastic Four. Lean into it, man. And then when they get trapped in the negative zone, quantum realm, whatever you want to do, when they come to the future, nobody remembers them. And the only person that might remember them, I think, and this would be the nice connection that I would do, is Hank Pym, Michael Douglas, was their intern in the 60s.
Right.
And now they're the same age.
Also, you can have where T'Chaka may have mentioned them.
Sure.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, what I'm sorry, I started to interrupt you, Jay. What I think is the best way to introduce the Fantastic Four again, like, is to do this whole thing where they have to convince the world why they're fantastic again, and you have to really sell the family. But before you do that movie, what I really hope they do, and I was praying for this in Spider-Man Far From Home.
You pray for these things?
I do pray for these things, okay. Jonathan, to my cat god, who I call Brego, who's sitting in this chair over here, our podcast member, Brego.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, well, you have a cat guest in this podcast. I hope you know that. So they need to introduce Dr. Doom before they introduce the Fantastic Four, because I was hoping in Spider-Man Far From Home, I just wanted one line of dialogue. I wanted them to be like, well, kids, we were going to go to Latveria, but the borders are closed.
Yeah, that'd have been fun. You know, I would love to see the X-Men introduced in other movies. I'd love to see Storm introduced in the next Black Panther movie. I'd love to see, the inklings of mutants existing here and there. The rumor is
Rogue might be the villain of Captain Marvel too.
Sure. I think I take that with a grain of salt.
Sure, sure.
I think, though, Dr. Doom would get introduced in Black Panther 2.
That's what I hope, my friend.
I think he'd get both him and Namor.
What if Dr. Doom puts back together, what's his name? Andy's character, the sound dude. Help me out here. I'm drawing a complete blank. Claw. What if Dr. Doom helps put Claw back together? He turns him into actual Claw from the comics, where he's like,
The one thing I dislike about Black Panther, and I love that movie, is that they killed Claw.
Right. Claw's such a fucking cool character. I just like a dude with radar dishes for hands.
Andy Serkis was having a great time. Yeah. Right.
I want to see Doom put Claw together and be like,
I hope
don't
so.
Work.
I mean, to be honest with you, when they cut to that scene and Claw's like singing that song, I kind of was like, oh, please God, let Claw show up in every Marvel movie from now on, like doing a karaoke song of some type.
Mm-hmm. What is love?
Yeah.
So listen, guys, back to DC. I have this news that you guys saw the news, J.J. Abrams and the Justice League Dark series. Is that a series? Is that a movie? Is this the thing that like Guillermo del Toro is supposed to do? I mean, okay, so it's a Justice League Dark series. Like, Jason, what do you think, dude? You're my DC guy. What do you think?
I'm okay with it. Justice League Dark does have a great setup for a television series. To be honest with you, I would have been totally jazzed to have seen the Guillermo del Toro version, because I heard that had Constantine, Swamp Thing, and Zatanna like chasing down mysteries, but Justice League Dark could happen. J.J. Abrams has executive produced a lot of great television shows. So I don't think he'll actually be the person showrunning this one. So I'll be very curious about who he picks.
Okay. All right. Okay. Jay, do you have a little opinion on that?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love the idea of it. I mean, after watching the Justice League Dark animated movie, which DC kills, by the way.
Yeah.
Their animated universe is phenomenal. If you haven't seen Harley Quinn on the DC universe, please go watch that. But I think, yeah, it's going to be. I don't think JJ will show run it. I think also one of the things people got to not expect is we will not be getting Batman in this. Okay, that's a $10 million property. You're not getting Batman in this Justice League Dark. I do hope they bring Matt Ryan over from Legends, given the fact he's supposed to be done, you know, because his character is supposedly fading out of Legends. He is Constantine. He was Constantine with his own show. He's been the same Constantine with Legends. That is the Constantine you bring in.
Yeah, and Jorge over on Facebook, he does agree with us on this one. Justice League Dark would be sick.
The big question about the Justice League Dark series is, and I'd love to hear you guys' opinion on this, because do you make Swamp Thing a main character?
Can I go? Heidi's here. You know Heidi's here. There's a woman in the room, and you just got fucking excited. Like, okay. What? Oh, no, I'm legit. Okay. You just got so excited.
I'll let Heidi go. I'll acquiesce to Heidi if she has something to say about it. I have no problem.
What does Heidi think about the thing from the swamp? Please. Tell us about the man.
You scared me.
No judgment.
I think you do bring in Swamp Thing, and you bring in Derek Mears. I think you bring in Swamp Thing from the DC universe, because granted all the stuff that happened with the show getting cut financially and then having to end early and everything.
But you built that costume. So, yeah,
you built that costume. I think Derek Mears would more than love to come back and do Swamp Thing for this, even though the show was about Abby Arcane, which made zero sense to me. But I would love to see that Swamp Thing be involved with Matt Ryan's Constantine. This would be great. And then the next question is, who is your Zatanna? Because, of course, she's in the Justice League Dark, but at the same time, they've been talking about a Zatanna movie.
Okay. Okay. Let's say this all gets together. Let's say we start going to conventions again. We talked about the virtual convention. Jay, I do want you to talk about the virtual convention you got going on this weekend. But there's actual Meet Space conventions still on the schedule. Dragon Con has said they're not canceling. They're supposed to be going up Labor Day weekend. That's September 3rd to the 7th. Mm-hmm. You guys, what do you think of that? Like, I mean, Dragon Con?
Their hand is forced.
What do you mean?
Because the governor has said that things can operate. Once the governor has said things can operate, their insurance clause for force majeure is no longer in effect. They'll lose so much money. I understand the health benefits. It's literally because once the governor said, once your governors and your local officials and state officials start saying that you can work and you can operate at certain levels, then now it's the force majeure isn't in effect anymore. It's not a national emergency per se anymore that's closed everything down.
Or a state emergency or a local emergency. I get what you're
saying. And that's the only thing I can think of is why that's happening, is because if they don't, they run the risk of the insurance not covering everything. If it's still a force majeure where it's a national emergency, the global pandemic as a whole that has locked things down in the country, then yeah, it shuts down. Insurance takes care of everything. But because the governor said stuff's going to open, they have to make that announcement, unfortunately.
Well, Trump today said that I don't necessarily agree with Georgia's governor saying they should open. That was awkward. What's that, Jay?
He'll say something different tomorrow.
Oh, well, of course. He's a fucking crackhead. I mean, he's a quack. So that's our politics. If this is your first Geekscape, sorry. Good luck tomorrow at your local Capitol building holding your second place flag. I mean, I just think, you know, your team loses, don't go waving their flag. Lost 150 years ago, don't be waving the flag around, all right? Don't tread on me really just means.
Oh, now I finally understand every 4th of July when I show up with the Union Jack why everybody gives me weird faces. I've never been able to figure that out.
Losers don't get their banners in the rafters. All right.
It makes so much sense.
God damn. People are like, Kansas, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm like, guys, the king, maybe?
Well, listen, we got the queen here. The queen is here next to me. And Heidi, did you come back in to tell us that playtime is over with my friends and that Geekscape is over and you want your bedroom back, which is my makeshift Geekscape studio?
That's what you want me. You want me to say yes to that, right? Yeah. Well, no, I was hoping you were talking about Star Trek.
Always hope that.
That's okay. I'm drinking from my Star Trek.
Hold on a second. My tricorder.
He's got his tricorder.
It says yes. It says that's time to talk about Star Trek.
Well, what do you got to say about Star Trek? Because Heidi got me to watch all of Picard, and I'm not the big of a Trek head, but I enjoyed it. And I know Star Trek fans aren't big on it.
That's not true. Some Star Trek fans love it. I loved it.
Well, what did you think, Jason? Because you're the Trek guy, too. I mean, like, what did you think? When Riker showed up, you were so fucking stoked.
I mean, I love anytime Riker, my space doppelganger, shows up. I thought it was okay.
What?
Yes. I didn't love it, but I also didn't hate it. I think I loved every time they dipped in nostalgia. I really enjoyed that stuff. Like, yeah, the Riker and Troy episode was the best episode in the whole thing. Like, but that one
too. But yeah, I don't get super excited when they get all nostalgic. Sometimes I roll my eyes because I can imagine all the hardcore people going, ugh!
But you know, it's weird because I think maybe because Patrick Stewart's a little bit older, I think the nostalgia worked for that series. And
for sure.
I mean, all the stuff I kind of knocked on was all the weird mythology they decided to introduce with Data and the droids. And then at the end of the season, they just didn't answer any of it. So, but I'm hopeful for season two. Like, you give me Geordi LaForge, you give me Worf, I'll be a happy Star Trek baby.
Why don't you think we saw those characters this time around? Because Worf is part of the story of the evacuation of Romulus, wasn't he?
He's mentioned in some of the extra book stuff.
Yeah, okay. I didn't read all of that. But, you know,
neither did I.
What was I going to say? I already forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know. I was just talking to my boy.
I was part of a Facebook group where people were like, who the hell do they think they are having her call him JL and all that? Like, they were getting so mad about.
Oh, who cares?
I was like, if he's fine with it, why does it matter?
For layman like me, I just liked that they didn't discard the Kelvin storyline, like the whole Kelvin thing. They worked it in. They used the whole J.J. Abrams trek and the destruction of Romulus as like they used that split. It was part of the JJ trek. They used it as like Romulus is destroyed. Picard helped try and evacuate it. And this is where he is these years later. And now the story of Picard can start in the old school universe while JJ universe still goes on over here for people like me who are just kind of more of the cinematic fan than the TV series. And it still had a lot of that language too. It was still kind of a fun, fresh series to me. I'm not.
The biggest I will say this: it's the most beautifully shot Star Trek thing ever. Like cinematography wise, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And Data is my favorite character, and I loved all the stuff around him. Like I thought that was cool. I know my show is stalking LeVar, but I actually really love Data. He's my favorite.
My one nitpick with Data was, and I get it. Brent Spiner is in his late 60s, but his wig was not great. Like the wig that they were trying to give him his old
hairline. He froze on my, you froze a little bit, Jason. Go ahead.
Am I back?
Yeah, okay. You're back.
Brent Spiner's wig, when they were trying to make him look as young Data, was not the greatest. It was pretty.
He's a bit swollen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, we're all going to age. What do you think of this?
I like your silver fox. I always try to tell him that I like when his hair grows out. But he doesn't believe me until people tell him on Facebook.
Hot, dude, I'm at Captain America Infinity War levels right again. Oh, so like, I mean, look right here.
My shit's gonna start getting like Isaac Asimov up in here. Like I'm gonna start getting like these Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, I love it. It's coming in good.
I just got to take my razor and get rid of this stubble. I mean, I can grow hair. I just don't want to. I legit can grow hair. Just like I don't feel like it.
Well, listen, Jay, tell us about this convention, and then I think we got ourselves a good Geekscape. My friend Dan Merrill is on the show next Tuesday at 6 p.m. You guys know him from Screen Junkies. Yeah. We're going to talk about Trek. He's a big Trek fan, and he's got this new YouTube channel himself. So Geekscape, if this is your first time and you're like a Screen Junkies fan, maybe you recognize these kids from Screen Junkies. Dan Merrill's going to be talking about that new thing he started after leaving Screen Junkies. And then I know Jay's going to love this one. Because maybe he's been watching the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary series on ESPN. My friend Zach is a writer for The Athletic and is one of the, what is he on? Sirius NBA channel. He's going to be on at the same time tomorrow, right here on Geekscape at 7 p.m. talking that whole documentary series. Because Jay, I love you, but as a Utah Jazz fan, I thought some of that shit was rigged.
Yeah, okay. You mean the fact that the mailman couldn't deliver? Anyway,
mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays. Remember that one?
Yep. Mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays.
So, Jay, listen. And here's a good friend of ours. Barney Bregman says, Jonathan, Heidi, and my dude Jay all in one podcast. What? I'm going to have to hang a bit. Bernie's the dude. I talked to him yesterday about the virtual convention he's helping.
Yeah.
I think you might be a part of it, Jay. I don't want to speak for you, but you're part
of it. Well, I have it as of right now, no, but I'm hoping that something will change. I'm hoping things will open up and change and see what happens, but I'd love to be a part. I saw it. I got the email, the press release about it, and I was like, okay, so let me hit up Bernie right now and find out what's going on. And so, I mean, I've seen some of my former coworkers at Collider are doing it, and they're a part of it. So I'm like, okay, so let's see if Bernie can get me in.
Well, Bernie might not be a bad guest for like later on in this episode, or not in this episode, sorry, but in this show. Bernie, if you'd like, and Bernie does say, oh, you're on the list, Jay.
Bernie's my dude. Bernie's my dude.
Bernie's our guy. So, Bernie, if you want to be a guest later on in the next couple days leading up to the virtual convention you're a part of, let's fucking do that. Let's have you on Geekscape. How much fun is this? All the friends coming in. It only took the pandemic for us to all be together. So, listen, what's this one that you're involved in this weekend, Jay? What's going on?
Yeah, this weekend, it's Mainframe Comic Con. It's based out of Los Angeles. My guy, Chuck Lindsay, and he runs this thing called Chuckload of Comics. Well, he decided, of course, because of all the cons shutting down, that that he would put together a virtual convention, and he's gotten a lot of stars a part of this. David Harbour is going to be a part of it. Clark Gregg, Natalie Emanuel from Game of Thrones, Damian Dashmalkian. It's so many people involved in this. Kevin Smith as well. And so this Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'm going to be interviewing Natalie Emanuel for Game of Thrones. And at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing Natalie Dreyfus, who plays Sue Dearborn on The Flash. So you can find those live. Those are going to be streaming at mainframecomiccon.com.
Okay,
by the way, by the way, I'm one of the stars in that con as well.
I haven't seen your thing pop up yet.
I know. They don't promote me. But Ashley and I are going to do two panels that –
Oh shit!
And all, it's all good. Hey, sorry, it's all good. It's all good. None of it took me out. Well, goodbye, everybody.
I wanted to give you your own like frame, and I accidentally booted you for 2 seconds for the stream. You were saying.
No. Ashley and I are going to be having like a couple of panels like Saturday night for the Mainframe Comic Con. Like we're doing about how to kickstart a comic, because we've kickstarted all our Jupiter Jet books, and then also how to network in comic books.
Okay. All right. I'll try not to boot you right before you say something.
I'm just going to click leave studio. I'll see you later.
I'm still kind of learning things. There's a little bits of gadgets, but I'm loving it. I think you guys who are watching, hopefully you guys have been watching this one and enjoying it. I'm trying to put the full schedule together, but hey, my broadcast studio is Heidi's bedroom. So
I have spoken.
Yeah, I kind of need to ask the boss permission for when I can do the Geekscapes. I'm trying to keep a schedule. I've got 7 p.m. tonight. You guys are watching me talk to the other two J's. This is the 3J show.
J-Town.
And then tomorrow, like I said, my buddy Zach from The Athletic, where we talk about that Michael Jordan series. I've got a weekend one at 2 p.m. on Sunday with a buddy of mine. We're going to be talking music. He's in a band called The Ultimate Fakebook that I first saw open for like at the drive-in and all this stuff. Like he's got a brand new Bill McShane. He's got a brand new album out. And then again, Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here, we're going to be talking to Dan Merle from Screen Junkies, formerly of Screen Junkies, about Star Trek, his new YouTube channel, all of this stuff. So I like this new live Geekscape. So are you guys enjoying your Geekscape? You guys having fun?
Maybe. Oh, that's for us or them, because, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't certain who you're throwing that question to. By the way, I'm going to hit leave studio. Bye, guys.
you guys enjoying your Geekscape? You guys, Pure Evil Matt just says, I was late. He's in Toronto, longtime Geekscapist. It's okay, Matt. You can watch it in the next few days. I was talking to Jason, but maybe the eye line is not working. Jason, if you do not come back with that cat on camera, there we go.
There goes Brego.
You read my mind, brother.
This is our podcast intern, Brego. So,
all right. Listen, guys. I love you guys. Jay, they can find you at Mr. Jay Washington online, right?
That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then J-A-Y Washington, YouTube.com/JAY Washington 80. And like I said, Blurreds in the Hood. I spelled that out earlier. But yeah, right there where it says Mr. Jay Washington, Twitter, Instagram. So that's where you can find me.
That's the Blurreds in the Hood right there.
Yes, there is. Tuesday live at 2 p.m. every week.
Oh my God! Get a job, man! What the fuck? Right? Okay.
I mean, Jesus Christ! Like, I need something to do in my life.
And Jason, what have you been up to? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Jawin, JAWIIN. I've been posting a lot of pictures of my Superman collection whenever I remember to do it, and then also our co-host this cool podcast that Jay and Jonathan have both been on, Geek History Lesson. It's everywhere you can put podcasts in your ear holes.
Oh man, I love you. And you guys who are watching right now, I got a couple of new comments. And I got to tell you, Eric in New Jersey says, did I miss it? No, man. You can rewatch it on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook, on Periscope. And then I still take this episode and I take the audio and I put it down on the Geekscape feed for you guys who are just listening to the podcast. It's fun. Yeah. I don't know why I made this show early enough for you East Coasters, and then we got Eric over here in New Jersey saying that he missed it, and then we got Pure Evil Matt in Toronto saying, well, hey, we were late. I made it early for you guys. Otherwise, I also made it early because Heidi here, it's her bedroom. Where's your banner? I don't know.
For my cut, like for people.
I don't know. I got to make a banner for her. I don't know. Your banner is right here. Next time, Geeks, Heidi, you are at Miss Heidi Cox. I'm sorry. I have to sleep on the couch if I don't get this shit right. Oh, there she is. You guys on Twitter, there's Miss Heidi Cox. There we go. So sorry, podcast listeners. I know this is becoming a visual medium, but you know where to find us and you can see the jokes live. All right, Jay. Jason, thank you for doing the podcast with me. And Heidi, thanks for jumping in and letting me use your bedroom as my home studio. Enjoy your pandemics, guys. Maybe we'll have you guys on soon. All right.
Thanks, man. It was a pleasure. Love you.
Thank you, brother. Right
straight back to you.
I love you guys. And,
hey, give Super Action Man my love. I miss that speedo.
He tries to give me so much love, and that's terrifying.
Jay, if you're willing to wake up at 8 a.m. On Saturday, like Super Action Man's leading a workout over Zoom.
I think I need to see that package over Zoom.
I don't either. That's not an HD thing I want to see.
Well, Geekscapist, Super Action Man is leading an 8 a.m. workout this coming Saturday. There's all sorts of information on like my Twitter and my Facebook and Instagram. So if you guys want to work out with Super Action Man and get ripped like Super Action Man, that's happening, and it's going to be fucking hilarious and weird and strange and abusive all at the same time. Bye, Jay. I love you, man.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye, Jason. I love
Goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
Dude, say hi to Ashley.
We'll do.
You guys have been awesome. And Geekscapists, thank you guys so much for being a part of this. Thank you guys for continuing to watch the show, listen to the show, and we'll be back tomorrow night on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and Periscope. For more Geekscape. And of course, if you've been listening on the longtime Geekscape podcast feed, this has been like amazing talking to you guys regularly. And I just want to say, like, share Geekscape with your friends. Let's get those subscription numbers. Let's keep you guys coming back. Share the live Geekscape with your friends. And I built this thing for you guys. I keep it going for you guys. And I love communicating with you guys. So let's try and grow as many friends as we can, because we're not going to be all stuck in our homes forever. And we're going to want to go to conventions and meet up and be social and hang out and share our excitement. And that's what Geekscape is about. So please share Geekscape and keep communicating with me. What time works for you guys? Let's make a schedule and let's keep growing. Heidi, does this work for you? What time is this working for you, Heidi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. Right. I mean, as long as I work from home, but I do it during the day. So on the week. I don't know.
We'll negotiate.
What do you want me to say?
We'll negotiate.
So I just still want some time with you, too. Okay. I can't share you with everyone else all the time. I mean, come on, guys.
It's just not enough of me to go around. All right. Geekscapists, I love you. From Heidi's room, Geekscape forever. Peace.
Maybe I can host next time.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.